Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. We don't have any Premier League games this weekend, obviously, but we did say we're going to do a special show. Have you guys got your top 11? Did you sort that out?
Yeah.
we can get there. You've got yours. All right.
And I can blast through one.
Right. And we're going to go through each team and basically discuss where they are in the league, you know, that sort of issue. And I do have a question of the week, by the way, guys, from Blokes on the Bench, and we are on Facebook. Who do you think will finish top four this season? All right. If you leave a comment, I will read it out. And we do have one already. His name is Kendall. He's listening in Evansville. He thinks Chelsea will come first, Liverpool second, Arsenal third, and then in fourth, Man United. He also leaves a side note. It'll be great to hear Liverpool fans say the next year's our year again. So I'm guessing Liverpool Man United fan there.
Right.
I guess your mics aren't working. Is yours?
Hello?
Mine. Yes, yours is working. Third mic is always shutting off on us.
No.
And, it's out. And there's nobody here, so we'll just have to crack on. You guys will just have to share that mic.
Like a bluegrass band.
All right, Chelsea. Look at the three of you. The three of them are all crouched around it.
Story. It's
story time with the blokes in the bench.
I look like a boy band right now.
Well, you think you look like a boy band.
You said that.
Okay, you do.
Ryan's right. The lead singer.
Thank you,
all right, so let's start off. Let's just go in order of where everyone is in the league. All right, so starting off number one, Chelsea. And let's be honest, if you leave a comment on our page saying that you think your team is getting in the pole position, I think any team other than Chelsea, you're mad. You're crazy. I don't think anyone's catching them this year. What do you guys think?
I don't think anyone's catching them either, but stranger things have happened, let's be honest.
We did look at their fixture list last week, and it's definitely a little light.
Right. But that can breed complacency.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think they're going to win every game from now until the end of the season. I think they will lose a game. I think the big thing will be, does it come in the last three games when they've already got the thing wrapped up, or does it come in the next three games, which kind of leaves the door open for the teams close behind? So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see on that.
I think City's the last top four team they play this year, and I think it's beginning of April, maybe.
Yeah. I got some interesting facts about Chelsea. So, obviously, the nicknames first, the Pensioners and the Blues. The earliest ever feature film to use football as a central theme was called The Great Game, directed by Jack Raymond in 1930. And it follows a young professional by the name of Dickie Brown.
Good old Dickie.
All right. Player of the season so far for Chelsea.
I like how you say for Chelsea. You just assume it's a Chelsea player. For me, it's got to be N'Golo Kante. He's been playing fantastic this year.
Brilliant, yeah.
He's the engine for the whole machine that is Chelsea. For me, he's definitely the player of the year. And I was looking at some of the odds for some of these questions that we had, and he is by far and away the lead in terms of odds. So I'd be very surprised if he was not the ultimate winner of the Best Player Award. Right now, he's getting paid out like 3-2. 6-4. I mean, he's like, it's just, yeah. It's almost a lock at this point.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like his first, I'd say, three Premier League games, he looked a little bit out of his depth, just getting used to, you know, playing alongside Matic and then the rotation with Fabregas, and literally within three games, boom, he's just been the best player by an absolute mile. So yeah, I agree with you. He's definitely carrying on where he left off last year. at Leicester, and you know, looks odds on that he's going to get back-to-back Premier League titles, and I bet he's even pinching himself considering, you know, 3 years ago he was playing France, what was it, League One? Even League One. Wasn't even in, like, the Premier of the French division. It was the second tier. And, you know, could quite possibly, looks likely to get back-to-back Premier League titles, so fair play to him.
How often, when was the last time someone won back-to-back Premier League titles as an individual but with two different teams?
We're going to have some dead air here, but I'll know.
Yeah.
I'll get this.
We'll come back to that one.
Right. Because, I mean, United, obviously, but nobody left that team, did they, and went on to win it with someone else, did they?
See, now my gut says it's either I think I might have this. I'm going to go Carlos Tevez.
So it's been a few years, then.
Or has it?
Yeah, because he went to City. He went from... Where did he go from?
To City. So I'm thinking... Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe that's way off. Yeah, maybe that's way off. But I was going Carlos Tevez.
Okay, well, let's move on to Man City. They're in second place. I don't think City are staying in second, and that's trying to be as neutral as possible. There, I think it's just the way it's worked out at the minute. I don't think they'll stay in the top four.
They started to hit some sort of form.
Right.
Yeah, but you've got new boys out for the rest of the year with a broken foot.
Yeah, that's sad. That is. That's.
You know, is Aguero's mindset right to be able to really compete week in, week out? Like that he's done for the past 2-3 years for him. I feel like he feels a little bit snubbed at the moment. So
he should too.
Yeah, I know, but then it all depends on, you know, how much of a top professional he is. If he can just put that behind him for the sake of the team, if you know what I mean. Because they're still, you know, they're second. They're still in it. They're still mathematically possible for them to take the whole thing. So I think it's going to come down with him, like, just mindset, attitude.
Right.
And overall, I think City have the strongest squad other than Chelsea. And if you were to amass, sell off all their players, they very well be the most expensive team of all. But at the same time, I mean, is it clicking for them this year? Yes and no. And that's the thing with them is that they seem to be very hot and cold, up and down. Fernandinho, he's an essential part of that team, but then he goes in with a two-footed challenge and he's getting another red card. And I mean, I feel like
he's already been suspended, twice this season?
He's been suspended twice, and I think that a lot of the reason that you could say that City have been so up and down can actually be pointed to him, the fact that he hasn't been in the squad as regularly as he should have been. Obviously, you also you go down a man when you get a red, obviously, and that's obviously going to drop points there as well. So, I mean, for me, he's probably, it's either him or Aguero, probably their two most important players, it seems like, right now. De Bruyne also has had an off season. He had a great first season coming over from the German league, but really he hasn't repeated what he did last year. Although he is up there in the assist column, he's up in the top five or so of assists, but he's not there in terms of goals, and that's really what they need. And I've seen him miss a few sitters this year, and he wouldn't have done that last year.
No, yeah, but I know you say that, yeah, and I totally agree with you, but. Seven games in, when we're doing this show, we're seven games in. He was the best player in the league by an absolute mile. He missed that. I can't remember who it was against. He missed a penalty and had an absolute shocking game. Missed an absolute sitter. It hits the post from like a yard, and he has not been the same since that game. Because I'm telling you, within the first seven games, he was the best player in the league by an absolute mile. We were raving about
it. Well, Sterling was on fire then as well. If you remember, he actually won the Player of the Month in August. And Sterling was really playing very well then.
So with that, who do you think Manchester City... I'm talking teams, individual teams player of the year. Who do you think Manchester City's player of the year would be? Is there one that's a standout?
I mean, Otamendi has been playing better than he has in the past. I think you've got to throw his name in the hat. I don't know if he's necessarily the best player for them.
This is easy. Claudio Bravo. I mean, come on.
I mean, I think... Nobody's really lit up for them this year on a consistent basis. You mentioned Sterling. Yeah, he's playing all right. He's playing pretty decent.
But not as much recently, I would say.
And I think, like, you know, if you're going to go for, like,
City, who's probably one of the first names on the team sheet just out of consistency, you'd probably go like Bakary Sagna. I mean, you always get a semi-decent game out of him. You never think, oh, that was Sagna's fault.
Yeah, but is he their player of the year?
What are you basing it on? I'd rather have 11 consistent players that give me something every week than David Silva, who show up on a Saturday and then you'll see him again in 3 weeks' time. If that makes sense.
No, I get what you're saying. But at the same time, I mean, I don't think that you should pick a player just because they're consistent, but they're consistently average. You know, I want someone that has moments of magic that's not necessarily a match winner. I mean, look at who he said, Conte, earlier. He's not necessarily going to be the one scoring the goals for them. But City are a different type of team. They're not a team that's going to win games by 1-0. They're going to win games like 3-1, 3-2, something like that. They're more of a high-scoring, kind of back-and-forth kind of team. So because of that, I think it's got to be someone on the offensive end.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, for about 5 games straight, you had an Alito that was playing really, really good, and then suddenly...
And then he just was
He was on the bench. I'm not sure if he had a niggle in training or something, injury, but you haven't really seen a lot of him. And yesterday, I thought they were pretty shocking.
And I mean, I was going to bring up, what's going to be the future of Vincent Kompany? I mean, he can't seem
to... Got
to
retire,
isn't he? Stay fit. And it's sad because he was such a good defender a couple years ago.
Right.
He was the best defender in the league just a few years ago. But he's had so many hamstring injuries. I mean, they've never really replaced him fully to have someone like that. I mean, yeah, they have big, big money spent. But really, the players they brought in haven't been quite up to the task. Again, Otamendi was huge money, but he hasn't really come into... really what he should have been.
I think the problem with City is that they expected Kompany to be back fit, and it was almost like you were going to have, like, let's say, 3 seasons of learn from this guy, learn from our captain. He's been doing it for years and years. Same with John Stones. You spend $50 million on John Stones, which is a good buy if you got Vincent Kompany.
But it wasn't good value. He's a good player. Think of it. David Luiz was $38 million.
I know what you're saying. But City are kind of like a different kind of entity at the moment. Aren't they? They can pay whatever
they
want.
A premium.
Yeah.
When you go to City or any kind of transaction, a premium is put on that player because of just everyone knows that they have what the Qataris behind them.
And you're gonna get if
is
you
the
want
the Qataris or the UAE. It's Etihad. So yeah, it's UAE. It's Abu Dhabi. Yeah.
So you put a $50 million price tag on a 20-year-old kid. You're gonna get $50 million. Same with there's no way Raheem Sterling was worth $49.8 million. Just no way. But they come knocking. Hey, guess what? This is the price. And that's just kind of the way it is. But I think like Stones and Otamendi were bought really good buys for the future. Like it's a good investment for the future if Vincent Kompany was fit and playing alongside one of them, or you adapt it and make it a back three with your wing backs, which I think Pep would love to do, but at the moment you don't have that core defender in Vincent Kompany that's fit, able to do it.
Yeah. A few little interesting, facts about the club. I'm going to do this with every club. So the club was founded in 1880. It was originally called St. Mark's. They then became Ardwick Association Football Club in 1887, and then finally became Manchester City in 1894. Quick question. When do you think the club's most successful period was?
I mean, they won in, 38, right? We know we were talking about that last year, or last week.
The late 60s and early 70s, when they won the League Championship, the FA Cup, the League Cup, the European Cup Winners' Cup.
Which is the old Champions League.
Right, under Joe Mercier and Malcolm Allison. Because I don't know, I always think, as a United fan, we want to rip them, but like I always think that their most successful period was now. But after it must be said that after 1981, they basically dropped and then got relegated. And
they've been relegated a bunch of times.
Used
to play up front for them, and they used to get relegated every year. 19th was their favorite position. I'm not even joking. Shocking.
I think the only redeeming quality of Man City is that Noel Gallagher is their fan.
Of course, and
I'm a huge Oasis fan. So it's pretty much
the nickname: the Citizens and the Sky Blues.
Blue Moon Rising.
Yeah, good documentary, even though it's about.
I got to say, I do like it when they're doing their, they're like jumping up and down, and they got their backs to the field, you know, when they're doing their thing. That's pretty cool.
All right, so that's moving on. Tottenham, your club. Spurs, Lily Whites, that's the nicknames. Do you know anything about when they were founded at all? Or?
No, before my before
of course,
I was born.
Of course. In 1882, on the 5th of September 1882. They've actually got a date here. It's not just a year, it's a specific date that it was founded on.
Well, it's an important date in history. I mean, everyone should know that. I just forgot it, you know.
So, obviously next season they're playing in Wembley, right? Do they have a name yet for this new stadium that's coming the season after that? Or when does that... I mean, I'm not familiar with...
They're going to have a Wahlburgers. That'll be pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So the stadium naming rights are up for sale.
Okay. And so does that come again? I mean...
Yeah. So Stamford Bridge is going to be called something like Firestone Tires Stamford Bridge. They're going to completely outright sell the name, the naming rights to the stadium. So they will lose White Hart Lane in the name completely. Just for maximum money. I mean, the reality is that Tottenham are owned by a private equity firm.
Right.
And when you're owned by a private equity firm, the dollars come first. And, you know, obviously they've increased the value of the club significantly, so it was a good buy by them. And especially will be after the stadium will be built. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if Tottenham were sold in about 5 years after the stadium is built because of the fact that they will have you know, really increase the value of the club. And again, it's private equity. They're not holding on to it for
They just want to flip.
Yeah.
Are they kind of like flipping the club, I guess?
Flipping the club, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's like if you were to buy a, you know, any kind of company, generally private equity, they try and sell their investments in about 3 to 5 years.
Yeah,
they've been held
term,
on to Tottenham for a long
pretty
time.
Pretty much short-term model. When you
Which actually
that,
says yeah. a lot, though, if they've been holding on to them, because they know that they're on the up. Why not sell them once they're? You know,
if they keep buying players like Gareth Bale at an absolute steal,
right.
and then selling them on for
or like Dele Alli more recently, yeah,
exactly. Fair play to them.
So, a question for you, Alex: like, who do you think the player of the year for your club has been?
So
many good great players. You
there are so many good players, and when we get to the starting 11 of the entire Premier League, I actually have a good number of Tottenham players in there. For me, I've been going back and forth here. I think there's a few players that I just want to speak of. There's three of them. Victor Wanyama, who is the new signing that has come from Southampton. He's been fantastic this year. He really has played in every game. He's been rock solid. He's been so dependable. So he's one. Harry Kane, of course. I mean, he's the top goal scorer for Tottenham. He has 14 goals this year. He's doing really well. And Dele Alli, who has 11 goals and really looks like he's probably the most likely player to win the best young player of the year, which he also won last year. So, you know, those three players really stand out. You know, there's other names you can say, like Son, who has had probably his best year in the Premier League, or Moussa Sissoko, who really is just another kind of Conte-like player where he's like that engine, that guy that like drives the ball forward.
Mm.
You know, that's the thing about Spurs. They really are like they're a true team. It's not like a one-man show. There really are a
number
of
effort.
Players.
Yeah,
that, it's funny.
That,
it's funny because like, the two players that I thought of when we got onto Tottenham was two you didn't mention, and that's like Danny Rose
and Kyle Walker.
No, Arda Barrell. So
okay, there you go.
So that's what I mean. They are a proper team, decent players. They'll be up there.
All right, guys. The time is 20 past. We'll be right back. All right, so we're going to talk about Arsenal next, Mark's team.
I still love them.
Okay,
that sounds like you're thinking twice about that. The fact that you have to say that.
A few little interesting things to say about Arsenal. Right, they were the first team to be on a radio broadcast at Highbury against Sheffield United, 22nd of January, 1927. All right. The first televised game, live, was on the 18th of December, 1937, and it was a team between the Arsenal first team and the reserves. So there's a few little tidbits for you. How do you think you're doing this year in the Premier League? We'll get to the Champions League.
Let's not talk about the Champions League right now. I was thinking about this the other day. If you've ever seen the movie Groundhog Day, that's kind of like that kind of explains Arsenal's last probably 6 or 7 years.
And
it's like you know, high hopes at the beginning of the season every year. Oh, this is going to be our year. And I think Alex said it probably about a month ago. I think our biggest opportunity to have won the league would have been last season with Leicester.
Mm.
And this year, for a little while, it looked like we were in, at least in it. But just same old story the last 6 or 7 years, you know. Underachieving, crashing out of competitions like we saw in Munich on Wednesday. That was awful.
You're not out yet.
You're not out, mate. You're still in it.
You're still in it. You can clearly win this.
Hey, yeah, cheeky 4-0 victory, and you're going to be home dry.
Which, yeah. That penalty was garbage, by the way. Shouldn't have even got the away goal.
Well, either way, I mean, it's been since 2010 that we made it past the last 16 in the Champions League. And, you know, this so-called Wenger trophy that I call it, you know, finishing in the top four every year, which is good for the club. You know, let's not look down upon that, for the finances, for exposure. You know, Champions League is recognized around the world. You know, is probably the top cup competition out there.
Are you in that Egyptian river right now? Denial. Because, like, exposure. Okay, so what? You're going to expose yourself to this year after year after year? Dude, come on. It's shocking. And we talk about, like, what did you say? Since, like, 2010, you've got to, like, the knockout stages of Champions League. Is that what you said?
We've crashed out in the round of 16.
This will be 7 years straight.
I was
going to
say, do they have room in the trophy? In the trophy room at the Emirates? Do they display like a plaque of that? Getting out of the group stage? Like, come on.
Well, one of the... The Guardian puts out an email on normal work days at 5 o'clock. They call it the Fiver. They call the round of 16 the round of Arsenal because Arsenal goes out every year.
Just a quick update, by the way. Somebody did leave us a comment, Christian, who actually called a show back a few months back. He's a Man United, Manchester City fan. He thinks that Chelsea are going to finish number one. Second spot will be Manchester City.
Of course.
Third spot will be Spurs. Fourth spot, Man United.
Yeah. Everyone's giving Man United love. I mean, they're playing well enough to be in the top four.
Wait till you're in my top four, mate.
If it doesn't start with Chelsea, then there's something
wrong. It does start with Chelsea. Okay, I'm a dreamer. I'm not an idiot. But, yeah, but okay.
What do you say to that, Ryan?
No, I'm just it's not a bad list. At least we're in the top four. So fair play to that City fan.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got second place wrong, but you know, as you do.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
It's all right. It was close.
Player of the year then. Who's your player of the year?
That's easy, Alexis Sanchez. I mean, he's right. The only one playing for us right now.
He is amazing. In every
that says
game,
a lot.
In every single game, he is just, is so intense. I mean, every time you see, like, for instance, if there's, like, if the team is trying to play out of the back, Sanchez will be yelling at his teammates to come up, literally waving his arms. I mean, you can see this like anywhere. He is so intense. He wants everyone to play like the highest level, and you have to respect that as someone that really loves the game. He is someone that anyone would want to play with, so long as you can be up to the task. And that's the thing, is the rest of the team hasn't really been up to the task. You look at certain players that really haven't played as well as they probably should have. I mean, for me, Ozil comes to mind. I think that really, I think part of the problem is that, like, I see that the team selection for Arsenal, I don't think it's very consistent, you know? Like, I know that some players have their role, like Giroud's going to come on in the 60th or 70th minute, whatever. But I feel like there's no cohesion to the team. And because of that, it's very obvious who the best player is, which is fine. But at the same time, it's like, okay, who's the second best player? Who's the second best? Seriously.
Giroud.
And he's not playing.
I think Giroud's been brilliant this year. I'm surprised he stuck around in January, because he comes on, he does a job for you. And so you have Sanchez, who is playing really, really well, right? Brilliant. But you have Giroud that You'll bring him on for 20 minutes. He'll get you the goal that you need, like, and you'll springboard from there. Why not play them together?
Yeah.
So you have a different dimension. So instead of ticky-tack round the feet and work Sanchez in that way, on the odd occasion, you can lump, I say lump, but you can put in a 30-yard ball up front for Giroud to nod on and have that running behind. They're so kind of actually one-dimensional in their attack.
We were talking about this yesterday, me and Alex, like, Wenger is always so hesitant to make substitutions, and they normally don't come when they need to. It's normally, like, you know, the 70th minute. Most managers make a change
hour.
At the hour mark.
Hour mark.
That's
so you need half an hour.
Pretty
really
much industry standard. And the problem, too, is that a lot of times these substitutions we're making, they're like-for-like switches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like in our lack of a plan B in games. Just kind of all highlight sort of Wenger's, maybe his philosophy is dated.
Mm. So are you, because I think it was last week, actually, I think you were saying that you think he should stay. I mean, are you still on that decision, or have you been swayed from this past week? And to be honest, I would hate to say you jump ship just after one result, but it's a quite significant result. And it's not just
the
result.
It's a statement.
It's the performance of the players that you had on that pitch. And I said it last week. I'll say it again. No passion, no backbone, no stamina. I called them a word in the car on the way here that mm-hmm. I can't repeat, mm-hmm. but it just sums them up, like, just no fight. You're talking about Alexis Sanchez, he's got great attitude, great fight, great determination. If Arsenal had 11 with his attitude alone, in my opinion, they'd be top of the league.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And they'd have probably had a decent, they'd probably be looking at a 1-1 draw with Bayern going to the home leg. Do you know what I mean? And you just don't have it. And it's a shame, and I feel sorry for players like Sanchez, because he must see some kind of... People don't go that above and beyond on a pitch like he does to rally his teammates if he doesn't see the potential in him, if he doesn't see something in him. But at the moment, he's getting nothing. So when does he throw in the towel? Do you know what I mean?
No, and it could very well be the end of the season.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the odds again for next manager to leave. So it goes Claudio Ranieri, no surprise, at Leicester.
He's out midweek if they lose.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they lost yesterday to Millwall.
To Millwall. That was pathetic.
Yeah.
The next up is Karanka. And then third for managers to leave next, Arsene Wenger.
I'd switch those two as well. I'd say it's Arsene before Karanka.
And actually, some of the betting sites have done just that. I have an aggregated... Look here, Bet Victor has Arsene going before the other guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the reality is that if you're an Arsenal fan, yeah, you're happy that you are where you are to some degree, but you know there's more. You know that there's that top of the table dream that you've had since the Invincibles. You want to have Champions League glory, which I don't think they've ever had.
We've never had it.
And so the reality is that there's a lot more of the mountain to climb that Arsenal hasn't done in quite some time, or has never done.
I'm sorry, guys, but this does feel and look like an intervention, because March is sitting there going, yes, we've never done
we've
that.
We've got a facility about 30 miles from here, 30-day program.
All right, but, we do have to crack on. Liverpool.
Ugh,
all right, sitting in fifth. Right. Interesting fact. So they were fined out of a dispute over land with Everton. Everton FC, right? There was a guy on the committee, his name was John Holding.
Mm.
They were playing at Anfield and they were moving to Goodison, I believe.
Yeah.
And he had a stake in the land, and they all went, jumped ship, and he was like, well, instead of selling, we might as well make a new club.
Interesting.
And Liverpool was born out of that. If I'm wrong here, tell me. I could be. That's what the facts say.
I mean, that's what some guy put on Wikipedia, you know, that's an Everton
fan. I checked other pages too. 3rd of June, 1892. 3rd of June. Like, really specific stuff here. Mm. All right. Obviously, there's no Liverpool fans in the room here.
We can talk about Liverpool.
But we can talk about them and try to be objective
if
here.
If you look at the first few months, Liverpool were the hottest team.
Right. We were
signing other than Chelsea, they were playing so well. It really looked like Klopp had the team overall turned around. And it looked like they were going to challenge in a number of different cups and potentially for the league title. Mm. And then all of a sudden, it all came crashing down in about December. And Coutinho got injured, and Lallana was out a couple games.
And then Mane went to the African
Nations. Yeah, I think Mane was the one that...
And Mane went to the African Nations Cup, and they have not been the same team since.
Do you have them in your top four?
Not in my top four.
Not in mine.
Not in mine.
I just don't think they've got it.
I think they have some of it, just not enough.
They're like Arsenal, only...
Arsenal will finish in the top four.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. You know what, I can't... They're not as bad. You can't... If it's a toss-up between
Arsenal and Liverpool to finish in the top four, I'm going to go with Arsenal.
I agree with that.
Me too.
I agree with that. I think Liverpool...
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, how bad is that?
There's a rainbow. There's a shining light for Mark. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, I think Liverpool will end up being sixth in the end.
Wow.
And I think that 4-5 is Man City, Arsenal, in no particular order.
So who do you think their best player has been then?
Liverpool.
Lallana.
I'd go Lallana, yeah. Brilliant.
Mane.
Okay.
And Mane is you know, he's right there. He's like, it's like 1A and 1B, because those two have been so important to the team. And, you know, earlier in the year, I probably would have said Coutinho, but... Really, I was surprised. When he went down, I thought that was going to be the end of the game for them. Mm. They actually kept on moving along without him, no problem. Firmino's been playing really well this year. He's probably the unspoken player that you know, really probably doesn't get as much love as he probably should. But overall, yeah, I mean, if you look at Liverpool and you literally just stack rank their players relative to the rest of the league, like forward, okay, so it's Firmino. Where does he? And he's like sixth best, you know. It's like, and you do this, and sixth best is probably like a very nice way, not nice, but a Liverpool's fan, you know, of saying like, you know, where he is, because the reality is he's probably way further down in terms of like top of the league. And you do that for each position. Lallana, you know, it's like Hazard's ahead of him, Dele Alli's ahead of him, you know. There's all these different players, and you look at the entire roster. None of them, not a single player on that roster, is really like the best at their position. And there's no one on that team that's like that. But for most of the other teams that are in the top six, there's someone that there with an argument. Anyone that you say that you think is top, literally the best player at their position in the league, and you tell me they're on Liverpool, go ahead, Ryan. I see your thinking.
No, my thinking was, okay, let's go, if you go with top ranks and you want to say, okay, for Tottenham, I'm just going to compare, yeah? Dele Alli and Kane as being your top guys, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's two out of, let's say, a firing six. Let's say, based on your, let's say, two forwards, four midfielders, if we're going to call that our attacking six, okay? What I would say is, I would take six guys, my four midfielders, my two forwards, if we want to go that way, or if we're going to call it a five, and have them all... let's say in the top 20 in the league on those power stats and stuff, than just having two out and out standouts. Does that make sense? Like, so they might not be the best in their position, but when you put all of them together, because I'm telling you now, when Liverpool are on song,
they're hard to beat.
They're very, very hard to beat.
As a Tottenham fan, I saw that last weekend.
When they're on song, The four, I'm going to call them the four then, if you like. Yeah, Lallana, Mane, Coutinho, Firmino. Really, I would not want my team to go against them when they're in peak form on a day like, you know, like we saw at the start of the season.
But at the same time, I get what you're saying. That to get, like, just like, I mean, you saw that, you'll see that in the FA Cup, you'll see that in any game. Of course, a lesser team with lesser players can rise to the occasion. Liverpool have done that more often than not this year, and I'm not trying to say that they're less like they're like lesser, like they shouldn't be where they are. They've earned everything they've earned. At the same time, I just don't think they have the quality that to match the other teams in the league. And it's not a negative against Liverpool. It just means that Klopp, you know what? He's only been there, what, 18 months? You know, he's still putting his imprint on the team. And part of that will still be done by buys that he'll be doing in the summer. But, I mean, look who they bought this year. They bought a Sané. Great buy, but, I mean, come on. I mean, Sané came from Southampton. Mane came from Southampton. I mean, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on his day, he's as good as anybody. But he's not like, it's not someone that United are going after.
No, yeah.
You know, it's not someone Chelsea are going after.
I know what you mean.
Barcelona doesn't want him.
I'll tell you, they have a silent assassin waiting in the wings. And when he gets fit, this kid is a proper player. And that's Danny Ings. But he's been absolutely
and United were after him two seasons.
Injury. This kid is English, absolute natural born goal scorer. And I'll tell you what, they've missed somebody like Ings, even bringing him off the bench in those scrappier games, because that's kind of teams he's come from. He's feeding on scraps almost. And they've had a few games this year where they could have really benefited and maybe scratched a few draws from losses if they'd have had a player like him in there. But he's injured, but hopefully he'll be back next year.
All right, guys, the time is coming up to 6:40. All right, guys, we're back. I want to pass it over to Alex and Mark. The next team, United, sitting in sixth. Let's be honest. Where do you think we will finish? And we're passing over to you guys
first.
Leave it
to the Gunner and the Spur to...
Yeah, I mean, hey...
They could push for top four now. I mean, it's looking pretty likely.
I mean, they could push for it. I mean, they look destined for the top four, looking at the way that they've been playing of late. They really have impressed me this year. I thought... I mean, if you look at what Mourinho did with Chelsea a few years ago... He immediately came in, and they won the league. It was literally the first year he was there. And he didn't have quite the immediate success that he did at Chelsea the second time around.
And the familiarity,
Yeah, I think he knew all the players and all that. He already knew what he wanted to do with the squad. Here, he needed to learn the team. Over the season, I mean, you could make an argument that Mourinho is the coach of the year. I don't think he is. I think Antonio Conte for Chelsea is, just because of he just basically did what Mourinho did a few years ago. But Mourinho has really impressed me, and if you look at the squad, I mean, yeah, obviously they bought huge over the year. I mean, over the summer, I should say. Paul Pogba, most expensive player ever. They're paying Ibrahimovic huge wages. Granted, they got him on a free transfer, so it's almost like it kind of. Pays for itself in a way.
Especially if you're only getting for two, you know what I mean? You get him for two, if you get 2 years out of him, it's money well spent, isn't it? For what he's doing right now, you know what I mean?
And for me, I mean, like, hey, you look at the squad overall, I mean, they have their strengths, they have their weaknesses. The weakness is probably towards the back. They have plenty of attacking players.
They seem to have sorted the midfield out. Herrera's looked really good. In his newer role.
Herrera, I actually... We're going to do a starting 11 eventually, if we have time. I really wanted to put Herrera in my starting 11. If you look at him, he actually has the third most passes of anybody in the league right now. I was surprised when I looked at the stat. Jordan Henderson has like 300 more passes than anybody else.
Yeah.
He must be doing like little like two-footers.
And he does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just back and forth.
This season too.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Jordan Henderson is by far and away the most passes. But anyway, not really relevant here. The whole point, though, is that United look as good as they have since Ferguson has left. And they're looking up. And, hey, I want to hear what other people have to say too. Because if I was a United fan, I'd be wearing the colors with pride.
So, I'm just going to jump straight into what my top four is going to be. Chelsea first, Manchester United second.
I'm not surprised
about that. Tottenham third, Man City fourth.
And then Liverpool, or you said earlier, I guess you said that Arsenal-Liverpool then.
If it's between Arsenal and Liverpool. So, when fourth, I went Man City just because I think that in the home stretch, they notoriously do a lot better than Arsenal, Liverpool.
And but they you also could, do you better really, than Spurs, too, though.
Yeah, and so you could. I just think Spurs will have enough over the next five games to kind of I hate to say it to you like this, but solidify a top three spot.
Yeah, and the response they had today against Fulham, I know we're not talking FA Cup, but, I mean, Tottenham really showed, like, they bounced back in the midweek.
Bounced back, that's it. Plenty of confidence, roll on to the next game. And that's all you can do at this level. You're only as good as your previous game. So, you know, yep, they won that game, bang, we're on to the next one. But, yeah, honestly, from what I've seen and kind of I looked at, like, the fixtures coming up for the rest of the season, notoriously what United do against those clubs. And I'm telling you, I've got United as second, Tottenham as third, and Man City as fourth.
Wow.
Cheeky fiver, boys.
Mine is Chelsea, Tottenham, United, Arsenal.
So you got City dropping all the way out?
Yep.
Wow.
I think City are
100% confident.
I think Arsenal will actually tip City in the end. I just have no faith in Guardiola anymore. I don't think he came in overconfident. You know what? It's amazing if you actually heard his post game interview after drawing to some team you've never even heard of.
Huddersfield, mate.
Huddersfield, of course. Everyone's heard of them, right? They drew to them 0-0. If you look at the squad that he put up, it was literally had four forwards on the field. Fabian Delph is can be considered a forward, and the reality, I was shocked. I mean, I was shocked in a couple ways. One, most importantly, just for this, in terms of whether or not I have confidence with City, is that Guardiola was giving them so much respect. He was just all over them, just like, oh yeah, they played really well. They're this, they're that. You can't take anyone for granted. They're one of the better. It's like, oh my God, if you were to play that tape of him to the guy he was in September and in August before the season, he would have been laughing at that guy because he came in so confident. Like, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. I'll figure this out. It's just like, I'm going to play the same chords I have at Munich and Barcelona. It's just going to work. And it hasn't.
But do you think that maybe next season, this season will be his kind of like learning curve where he comes in next season and is like, okay, now I know how difficult English football is.
I don't think he still gets it.
No, I called him at the start. Look.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't care what anybody says, yeah. Is he a great manager? Absolutely, yeah.
The results say that.
Yeah, the results say that.
His win-loss record.
But I'm telling you right now.
But if you look.
My 3-year-old daughter, yeah, could walk into a dressing room at the Nou Camp and go, okay, Messi, you're starting. Xavi, Iniesta in the middle. Busquets, you're going to tuck in behind. We got Piqué at the back with Mascherano. You know what I mean? It's not. It doesn't take a lot.
And
you
the same
can't
thing,
teach those people.
The same thing at Munich.
Exactly.
He's been handed the best squads in the world. And granted, let's be honest.
Sam Allardyce could have done a job there. Do you know what I mean? That's how ridiculous it is.
But I mean, the thing is with Munich. Munich won the treble right before he came in.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And they won the Champions League, the league, and the German Cup. He never replicated that.
Yeah.
He couldn't even live up to the guy that they literally had already fired him before the season had ended, and then the coach won the treble. I forget his name, but. But anyway, yeah, obviously, we don't have a lot of confidence in them.
So back to United again. Obviously, the Red Devils is their nickname. They were formed in 1878 as Newton Heath.
Newton Heath Boys.
Yeah, and became Manchester United in 1902.
Yellow and green.
It was like some guy.
Who is the longest running captain with Man United? Served for 12 years.
I'm going to go with
Brian Robson.
There you go.
Yeah, mate, know my stuff, don't I?
Boom, 1982 to 1990.
The enforcer.
1994. All right, so let's move on. Another team that's actually done pretty well this year, Everton.
I mean, they're like a one-man team in to some respect. Right. Lukaku.
I think they have the best striker in the league.
Lukaku's been absolutely fantastic this year. He's second in goals scored to Sanchez. Chelsea selling him was such a bad move in hindsight. I mean, there's no argument there. He was on loan when he first was there, and he played really well.
He was on loan for years.
He was on loan for years, and they eventually sold him, which didn't make any sense because they didn't really have the problem was that they had Torres back then. Anyway, we don't need to go into the history of Chelsea and bad moves because there's a lot of it. But yeah, I mean, like if you look at the rest of the team, I mean, like a lot of people, what, Ross Barkley, there's that new young guy that's pretty good. But yeah, I mean,
scored against City, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Tom Davies.
Tom, exactly.
But the thing is with Lukaku, okay, is great player, great finisher. He's really coming to this season. He looks brilliant. But I know the reason why Chelsea were willing to let it go. The kind of striker he was, over 6 yards, he's not very quick. The first 6 yards, he's not very quick.
But when he gets going...
Yeah, so when you play against a defense that sits back maybe an extra 5 to 10 yards deeper, so that the space between defense and goalkeeper is a little bit shorter, you're watching him out of video where he's so slow, kind of. He's not slow, but compared to, let's say, a Jermaine Defoe, who is... How he still does it at this age is because
he's
over
like
the first 6 yards...
He's so fast.
He's absolutely electric. Sergio Aguero, first 6 yards, absolutely electric. Lukaku's on the other end of the scale. I'd go as far as saying Darren Fletcher's quicker than him over 6 yards, right? But
no
once
way.
He gets into his stride, he's he's electric. But notoriously, when Chelsea come to town, what happens? You defend a little bit deeper. The lines are a little bit closer together. And he just never got the same kind of... I don't know what the word is. Same results as what he's getting now. Because now teams, you know, you come to Everton, you still want to play your game, even like a Swansea or a Southampton. Still going to defend relatively high. But he has got a lot better over that first 6 yards, and he's a real threat. And Everton are going to be, I think, have one of their best seasons this year.
Yeah. Well, actually, they were formed in 1878. Do you know what the original name of this club was? Saint Domingo Football Club.
Interesting.
Spanish?
Yeah. I'm not. That's what it said.
Yeah, the accent is a lot. Yeah.
Saint Domingo. There you go.
Similar in it.
Hey.
All right, we gotta blast through the rest of the.
All right, West Bromwich Albion. Where do you think they're going to finish?
Hey, good on them. This
where
is,
they're at.
It's
brilliant.
Yeah, they're playing as
best
well
player?
As they ever have.
Best player. I'm going with.
A little drum roll.
We don't have time for this. Waiting next.
Stoke.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yep. Stoke, ninth. Where are they going to finish, do you think?
Ninth, because they finish ninth every year. I told you that last week. It's their favourite number.
Best player?
Arnautovic.
Arnautovic, yeah.
Allen, got to throw Joe's name in there.
Yeah, but he hasn't played the whole year.
So. All right, West Ham.
Antonio has been playing great for them.
Antonio's a good player.
Interesting fact, they have the most players out of the 1966 World Cup team. Jeff Hurst, Martin, and Bobby Moore.
Yeah, only right. One. Yeah.
Bobby.
All right, next.
Oldest derby as well, Millwall. Their oldest derby is Millwall.
And that's what that one movie, Green Street Hooligans, is about.
Oldest right. Firms around, mate.
Southampton, they're in 11th. I mean, they've dropped a bit.
I reckon Southampton will go up a few spots.
Do you know they were called St. Mary's Church of England Young Men's Association?
Choir.
That's where the name the Saints came from. Yeah. They were a church-related church. Best
player. There's a new show on NBC Sports. I think it's two street footballers that go to, you know, a Premier League club and they document it. It's really cool.
Are they the D2?
They were on Talk Sport.
Unbelievable tackles. During the summer, I heard them on Talk Sport. They're pretty interesting guys. All right, so where do you think they'll finish? The same spot or?
I'll take the over in terms of if that makes, or maybe under, I guess technically. They'll be less than where they are now. Less being good in a lower position, higher in the table.
All right, Burnley, they're 12th. Are they going up or down?
They're
going
to go in the other direction, but not by a lot. They'll probably finish 14th.
You know, although they may have the keeper of the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, brilliant. The colours. I always used to get confused between them and Aston Villa when they were in the Premier League. Well, actually, in 1916, the colours were actually a tribute to Aston Villa. Yes, Ryan. Mm. You can see your face.
Yeah, oh, brilliant.
There you go.
The old claret and blue.
Yeah, it was as a tribute to the dominance of Aston Villa who were at that time.
Who have the same colours as West Ham, too.
Yeah,
they are.
Was that a tribute to Aston Villa as well?
I don't know.
Black Sabbath team.
All right, Watford.
Band, huh?
What did you call me, Mark? What was my nickname? This is a Watford. We went on to Watford.
Oh,
The chairman of the...
Yeah, so Andy's the chairman of the International Troy Deeney Fan Appreciation.
Loves him.
Really does.
All right, so are they going up and down, or are they staying? Because they've dropped. They were in the top 10.
They'll stay up.
They're 13th. They've dropped a bit.
They will stay. They will not be relegated in terms of...
But they'll finish where they always do. Mid-table, they'll be all right.
The Owens.
It depends. Deeney might have some retrospective... might have a couple of games on the sideline from the manager for his escapades the other night. Did you hear about that? Bust up in a nightclub and then some female police officer threatened to spray him with pepper spray. And he's like, go ahead, go do it.
I've heard a couple people say that he kind of looks like a nightclub bouncer.
He's a big fella, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not that far off.
He doesn't look like he's fully fit, to be honest. He could look like he could lose a few kilos.
We like to call that in England, mate, carrying a bit of timber, just in case you need it. a little bit of timber.
Bournemouth.
I think they'll drop down a little bit more than
The opposite. I say they're going to go up. I feel like they're giant killers. They've done it again many times in the league. They just need to win the teams that beat the teams they can.
Mr. Wilshere picked up another.
Talk about
injury.
Me with a love affair. Swins over Jack all the time. Swansea.
He's been one of their best players.
Swansea?
Yeah.
I think Swans will be all right.
Swansea.
Yeah. Paul Clement doing a real
right.
job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's got to get manager of the month, in my opinion.
He won in January.
Oh, that was it then.
Okay, the Middlesbrough?
It was me thinking it was late February. All right. Say again?
Middlesbrough?
Only they could score.
I think Middlesbrough will be the team that finished fourth above the bottom.
They'll be the toughest of all the ones down there.
Here's the one. Leicester City.
I think they're going to go down.
I think they're going to go down.
They're in the drop zone in my
yesterday
bottom
was
three.
Just disgraceful. I don't know what's going on. It's just shocking.
Yeah.
But Millwall at home are tough.
Yeah,
Tottenham drew them for the next round of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
But at home for Spurs.
Replay. You don't want no replay.
No, we do not want a replay. We just want to win.
Interesting thing about Leicester City, I have to meet this out. Their mascot is called Filbert Fox, right? The mascot, there's also two other mascots. There's Vicky Vixen and Cousin Dennis.
Cousin Dennis, what a mascot.
Here comes Cousin Dennis.
Yeah. Cousin Dennis sounds like some guy that's in a caravan down the, I'm a little concerned about that.
What do you call him? Filbert what?
That sounds like a West Virginia.
Filbert Fox.
Yeah, you know why he's called Filbert Fox?
No.
Because their old ground, they just moved to the King Power, but their old ground was called Filbert Street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
There you go.
Okay, moving on. Hull City.
Ryan, the real spot. Wikipedia.
That's it. Huh?
Hull City?
Odds are they're going down. If you look, I was looking earlier. Odds are they're one of the ones going down. I find it hard. I actually have Leicester going down instead of them. I think Leicester.
I see more fight in Hull, though, don't you?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. I think that since they've sold Snodgrass, which is rare that you see this, they sold their best player, and now they're playing the best football they have all year.
But they bought some players.
I think so too. I think they acquired pretty decent actually. I think Hull will stay up.
Crystal Palace, 19th.
See you later.
Shocking.
See
absolutely
you later.
The worst setup to a team ever. How Sam Allardyce is a football manager, I don't know.
And Allardyce will go before the end of the season.
Awful.
You think? Well, he should have been in that list then, right? You think?
Oh, he is.
No, he is. Okay.
Won't put odds on him because it's such a guarantee.
He was next after Wenger.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And sitting obviously in the bottom spot. Sunderland.
See you later. I mean, they're a one-man team. Defoe. I mean, take away Defoe and God. I mean, would they have any points? Like, literally. Like I think it would be interesting to see if you mathematically took away his goals.
The thing is with Sunderland as well, when they are having their semi-decent run, I'm calling it a semi-decent run, where they would win a game, draw a game, lose two, win a game, draw a game, lose two.
Well, I don't think that's happened. I think thing they've done is they lit up Crystal Palace the other day 4-0.
They have a phenomenal young goalkeeper who's been out for like the past 6 weeks now. He's still out for another 2 or 3 weeks as well, Jordan Pickford. So they got Manone back in there, who's absolute calamity.
Former Arsenal keeper.
But
Calamity James. You guys remember him.
You know, if Sunderland go down, there's going to be some really good acquisitions from that squad.
Defoe
and I'm talking
will be one of them.
Defoe and Jordan Pickford. That's it. Yanezoy can stay in the championship.
All right, guys. So moving on to the Champions League again. We've got games coming up this Tuesday and Wednesday. Manchester City versus Monaco. Leverkusen versus Atletico. And then
Atletico should win that.
Yeah.
Chicharito has been scoring some goals again.
And then on Wednesday,
they've actually been playing really bad.
Sevilla,
yeah.
They're going to trounce them. They're going to trounce Leicester, and that may very well be the last game for Claudio Ranieri. Yep. I think they'll give him a chance to come back on the other end.
And then Porto versus Juventus.
Biggest shock of the Champions League midweek has to be Benfica versus Dortmund. 1-0 Benfica.
That was if you listen, check the replay of last week. I said the very same thing, that they were going to win. You say that, but come on, PSG just absolutely dismantling Barcelona. That was really impressive. But you can't talk about Champions League without saying something about Arsenal getting absolutely lit up.
He's been waiting 60 minutes for that.
All right, baby girl. Well, you've been saved by the clock. It's 7 o'clock, guys. All right, we'll be back next week. Fixture lists were on last week's show.
Now there's going to be a fight in the park.
We'll be back, but Arsenal won't.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.